It's a new year. How many of you guys are excited about that? A new year. I don't know about you, but for me, I'll tell you what a new year means. It means I'm getting ready to go through 3 months of writing down the wrong year every time I have to date something. That's the worst part about the new year, is it's a good 3 months before I can get that down. And then every once in a while, I'll throw in like a 2013 just for good measure, something like that. It's always like on a check when you're in a hurry, or your last check, and I'm doing stuff like that. That's how it happens to me. But you know, a lot of people take the new year as an opportunity to reminisce about the past year and looking forward to the coming year. It's a time that people take it as really a time like I can start fresh, right? Something new. People make changes to their life. They make resolutions. And if you've been here more than a year, you probably know how I feel about resolutions, okay? Because each year I preach a similar message and a vision casting type of message. But actually, I love resolutions. And when we make a resolution, we're coming to a definite or earnest decision to do something. That's what it means to make a resolution. A definite or earnest decision to do something. And it's usually a change, and that's a good thing. I like those. I like resolutions. What I don't like, I don't really like New Year's resolutions. Okay? A New Year's resolution is something that goes in one ear and out the other. All right? Okay? I didn't get any laughs, so it's pretty bad. So don't say that one next year. Okay? Okay? May all your troubles be as long as your New Year's resolutions. Okay, just Cheryl thought that was funny. Send Cheryl thank you card. Okay? All right, my New Year's resolution is to break my New Year's resolutions. That way I finally fulfill one of them. All right, it's like, don't share any jokes next year. Okay, we're all set. But people make these resolutions because, well, it's the start of a new year. It's what people do. And I'm just not a fan of it because I'm not a fan of putting things off. Now, don't get me wrong, I put things off. I'm just not a fan of it, of putting things off. I'm not a fan of waiting to the new year or waiting until this or that changes in my life. There's a word for that, and many of you won't like it. It's procrastination. That's what it means to put things off and wait until a certain point to do something. Some of you may say it's planning, and occasionally it is, but it's usually procrastination. And procrastinators don't usually accomplish much, just like New Year's resolutions don't usually accomplish much. And the main reason that I don't like it is really just because if it's something that's important, man, don't wait. Don't wait. Do it now. We're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised next year. And I'll tell you, there is something that's actually worse than procrastination. So all you procrastinators, now you can exhale. Like, whew, there's somebody worse than me. Like, I'm not at the bottom anymore. What's worse than procrastination is having no vision. Having no vision. And I'm not talking about physical vision with your eyes. I'm talking about an imaginative conception or anticipation. Picturing things as though they may be. Picturing things the way that they could be. And that kind of motivation is what we need behind a resolution or any other kind of change. When people can really picture what things could be like, that's when they have the motivation to pursue the change and in order to continue in the change. Okay, a lot of us will get started with the change, but it's to continue in it. You have to have motivation. We have to have to be able to see. We have to have that vision. And so if not, we can't picture that end result. We probably won't ever get there. And if you think about it, throughout the Bible, throughout the Word of God, there's lots, I mean, tons of scriptures about change. There's tons of scriptures about newness, about the future, and about your future in Christ, right? Loads of scriptures. And so I'm going to start today with Isaiah chapter 43, verse 16 to 19. This is our annual vision casting message, which I love. I'll be going through our mission and our vision, which should be on the back of your bulletins as well. And I'll be preaching out of the Holman Christian Standard Bible. That's the Bible I'm preaching out of this year. So if you want to be reading the same thing, you can pick one of those up. If you use the Bible app, just change it over. But I love it. It's got some really cool things. I'm not going to, this isn't necessarily a plug for it, but if you want more info on it, I've got a good email about it. Like in the New Testament where the Greek word is Christos, which is anointed one, it actually says Messiah. And then in the Old Testament, in different instances where some Bibles would just say God, it says Yahweh. And it's all the Old Testament references in the New Testament are in bold, so they stand out as you're reading through. And it's just got some really cool stuff in it. And it's a real solid translation. So that's what I'm preaching out of most of this year. I'll be using that. So Isaiah chapter 43, verse 16 to 19. This is what the Lord says, who makes a way in the sea and a path through surging waters, who brings out the chariot and horse, the army and the mighty one together. They lie down, they do not rise again. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the past events. Pay no attention to the things of old. Look, I am about to do something new. Even now it is coming. Do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Now, this scripture specifically, he's speaking to Judah, and God's calling them to forget their past struggles. Right? They failed him over and over. They've messed up. They've not fulfilled their destiny. They've not done what he wanted them to do and asked them to do. And they just keep messing up. Keep messing up. How many of you can relate to that? How many of you just keep messing up in life? Probably every hand should be up for some reason or another. But he's telling them, I've got a new destiny for you. Change is coming. Don't focus on all that of the past. Change is coming. And that's what the Lord says to us today as we read this. Don't remember past events. Pay no attention to the things of old. Look, I'm about to do something new. Even now it is coming. Do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. And today we can make that choice to not look at the things of the old. You know, there's times in church as a pastor where I can look around and I can see what God hasn't done. Right? I can think about the things I've been praying for that he hasn't done. I can think about the things we've been praying for in prayer meetings that we haven't seen fulfilled. I can see the people we pray for on our list that haven't been healed yet. And you can get to focus on that stuff pretty easy, right? How many of you can get focused on the things God hasn't done that you've been asking for? How many of you can get focused on the things that you didn't do that you wanted to do? I'm going to read my Bible every day at 7 a.m. and then every day you wake up at 7:30. Okay, there's things that we go through that we fail, we fall short, and they beat us up. The enemy just puts us in a headlock and gives us a noogie, like, aha, you didn't get up again, right? Over and over. And there's things that we can just, they weigh us down. And the Lord says, man, forget the old. I'm about to do something new. Okay, it might be the same thing that he told you he was going to do before. But when he says something new, it doesn't mean something different than his other plan. It's still the same plan. What he's saying is, I can do something new in you. You who can't get up, man, I'll wake you up. I'll tell you what, I had somebody share with me how he was waking up on his own, like 6 a.m. or whatever. I'm like, dude, if I don't set an alarm, I won't wake up till like 8 or 9. You know, like, I don't know how you do that. And he's like, you know what I did? I prayed about it. And I went to bed one night, and the next day I woke up at 6. And I'm like, all right, like, that's going to work. That night, I prayed about it when I went to bed. I was like, Lord, I want to wake up at 6 tomorrow. I woke up at 6. I'm not even kidding you. Now, the next day, it didn't work. But I think God was just showing me, I can do it. Don't think I'm a genie like you just asked me for stuff and you're going to get it. But I'm showing you, I can do it. I have the capability to change your situation. So we've got to stop looking backward and start looking forward. And this pertains even to the good things in the past. Serious. It pertains to the good things. You can't just keep looking back at the good things. If you're looking back, how can you see the new that's coming? How can you see what's ahead of you? Change is coming. Do you not see it? If you're not looking forward, you're going to miss it. Proverbs 4, verse 25 to 27 tells us, let your eyes look forward, fix your gaze straight ahead. Carefully consider the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep your feet away from evil. Man, you don't look forward based on whether or not you like what was left behind. It's not about, was my past year good? Was my past year bad? That's not what should motivate you to look forward to this new year, to look forward to what God has for you. We should look forward because that's where God is leading you, forward. He wants progress in your life. And I'm going to give you a tidbit here. This is much better than some of the other ones I give. Man, the devil leads you backwards. Jesus leads you forward. The devil will lead you backwards. He'll lead you to the past. He'll lead you to what you didn't do. He'll lead you to what you didn't accomplish and what you said you were going to do and all that junk. And he may even lead you to the good things that happened in the past because he's trying to distract you from moving forward. He's trying to distract you from what God has for you today. You think about that good stuff you did before. Just dwell on that. You know, remember all those things and distract you from where God is trying to take you. The devil leads you backwards, but Jesus will lead you forward. And God has a mission for you. Say, God has a mission for me. Man, that actually sounded like you meant it. First try. Man, this is a new year. That's good. That's good. I'm proud of you guys. God does have a mission for you. He has a mission for you. He has a mission for this church. He has a mission for the church, his church, all believers. And today as we go through this, man, I want you to think about how this mission, how this vision, how they apply to you. I want you to ask God things like, Lord, where do I fit in this? Like, what can I do to fulfill the mission? And you're going to see that the mission that our church has, it ought to be the mission of every church. And it ought to be the mission of every Christian. Right on the back of your bulletin, our church mission is making disciples for God's glory and for his kingdom. Now, every single thing that we do in life and everything we do in this church, it ought to take us forward toward this mission. It ought to take us closer to making more disciples for God's glory and for his kingdom. And if it's not, then it doesn't belong here. If we're doing things in this church that aren't helping us make disciples, then those things don't belong here. If you're doing things in your life, this might sting. It stings me when I think about it sometimes. If you're doing things in your life that are not helping you make disciples, it really doesn't belong there. Amen. Add one amen. It's tough. But really, we ought to evaluate our life. If we're doing things that aren't making disciples, it really... All right. If we're doing things in our life that's not helping us make disciples, it really doesn't belong. You know, we can look around, we can see what hasn't been accomplished in the past, or we can look towards our commander, we can look toward the vision and the mission that he has for our future. And in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, this is where we get our mission from. Then Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Man, this is our mission as a church because this is the mission that Jesus gave his followers. Go and make disciples. And what's really neat is you think about what were we originally created for? He told Adam and Eve, like, man, this earth is yours. Go, subdue the earth, multiply. They were without sin, right? He's like, go and subdue the earth, multiply. Man, right here, he's calling us to come back to what he created man for. Go and take over this earth. Take over this earth and multiply with disciples of Christ. I mean, he's bringing us back to the very mission that he created Adam and Eve for. And this is our mission. This is the mission of the church, and it ought to be of people everywhere. Teach them, not just tell people about Jesus. That's great. That's a start. But it's got to go beyond that. Teach them to obey the things that I've commanded you. This, the word, teach them to obey the word. Man, we've got to speak it, but we've got to live it, right? And this is where the old and the new come in. We've got to stop living the way that we've lived in the past, and we got to live in the victory that Jesus has won for us. We got to live according to the word that can change our lives radically and can change other people's lives. Amen? Okay? Whatever has caused you to fall and stumble in the past, man, guess what? Behold, the Lord is ready to do something new. Look forward. Man, God, how can I serve you better? How can I grow closer to you? How can I know you more? These are the things we ought to be asking. And so to fulfill a mission, you have to have vision. It's what I was talking about earlier. You've got to have vision. You got to have that plan. Like, okay, how do I get there? What am I trying to accomplish? You know what you're trying to accomplish, but how am I getting there now? In Habakkuk 2:2, the Lord answered me and said, write down this vision, clearly inscribe it on tablets so one may easily read it. Man, the vision has to be clear. It has to be accessible. It's why we remove the notes section from the back of the bulletin and we put our mission and our vision on there. We did that like over a year ago. I looked around and I thought most people that actually take notes on a regular basis bring a notebook. And we could use that space. That's valuable real estate, all right? A church bulletin that's only one sheet of paper front and back, man, that's valuable real estate. If you want something put in there, talk to the secretary. It's out of my hands. She might put it in there, she might not. But we put our vision and our mission on the back because that is important, church. We need to know what are we trying to do. I mean, you ought to be able to take this right here. If somebody ever asks you, what's your church about? Man, you ought to be able to tell them this. Maybe not read it verbatim. The vision's kind of long. But you ought to be able to tell them this. You say, you know what? We're about making disciples. Like, well, what does that mean? Like, how do you do that? You ought to be able to start listing off these things, this vision, how we try to accomplish that. It's important for us to know. Okay, so we're going to go through this section at a time and kind of look at this. And if you go to another church, man, this vision is transferable. This all comes out of the Word of God. This is what I believe that God has created the church for. I believe it's His will for the church. And if you're a believer, you're part of the church. So the first part is, by God's grace and for His glory, we believe God has called Freedom Reigns in Christ Church to be a dwelling place for the Spirit of God and a hospital for the hurting and the broken. Man, there are too many churches today that neglect or ignore or reject the Holy Spirit. And I can say with confidence right here from this pulpit that we will not be one of those churches. Ever. We will never be one of those churches. Okay? We welcome the Holy Spirit to move in this place, to move in our hearts, to move through us. And this is the only way that we can minister to the hurting. You realize that? Is by the Spirit of God. Man, a hug can do wonders, but it's temporary. Okay, a word that you've given out of the flesh, it may help them a little bit, but again, it's temporary. Man, when the Holy Spirit is behind it, man, we can help hurting people by showing them the way to Jesus and by letting the power of the Holy Spirit speak through us and work through us, because there is not one truly good thing that we can do on our own. Not one good thing we can do on our own. It's only by the grace of God. And everything that we do, we've got to be bringing glory to the name of Jesus. Psalm 147 verse 3 says, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. That's God that does that work. Man, if we're rejecting the Holy Spirit, what are we doing here? What are we here for? Jesus left so He could send His Spirit to minister. And if we're rejecting that, then we really don't have much hope for this life on this earth. And Jesus said, I came that you may have life and life more abundantly. You know what the more abundantly part is? That's the part on this earth. Okay, He could have just given us life in the afterlife, could have gave us eternal living. But He says, I came to give you more than that. I came to give you a life here on earth. I sent my Spirit. Amen? So we resolved to carry this out by doing prayer and counseling, meeting with people. Man, we do altar calls. That's part of the reason we do altar calls. We want to be able to pray with you and help you through things. We'll meet with you after service, or you can schedule time to meet with myself or the elders or Christy, because we want to help the hurting. The next thing is Freedom Reigns is committed to God-honoring worship and to the preaching and teaching of the unadulterated authoritative word of God. That's kind of long, but I believe every word of that is critical and important. If you've been here very long, you know this is a house of praise and worship. It's the best part of service. I love it. Man, that's what I really missed last week. I missed you guys, but I really missed the praise and worship atmosphere that we have in this place. We don't put limits on worship time. We stop whenever the Holy Spirit tells Jason to stop or tells Dylan to stop, whoever's leading. And by our praise and our worship, you realize that when we're doing that, we're proclaiming the greatness of God. Man, how glorious is that? I was thinking as we were singing those songs today, I'm like, man, it just amazes me to think about how great our God is. I mean, he is. I've heard people say that, you know, like Islam, for example. Well, we worship the same God. No, we do not. Man, my God died on a cross for me. He came to me, sinful man, and died in my place and then was resurrected to new life so that I can be resurrected to new life. Man, that's not the same God. That's not the same God at all. And I think about how glorious my God is. Man, when we come into this house and we praise and we worship, man, we are proclaiming that greatness with every single word that we speak, with every note that is lifted up. It doesn't matter how good or how bad it is. It doesn't matter how high or how low it is. Man, with every note, we're proclaiming the greatness of our God. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Man, that's what we're to be doing, proclaiming the praises of the one that called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Man, if someone saved your life, you would be singing their praises like, man, thank you so much. Like your whole life, you would owe it to them. You would never forget it. We have had someone who has saved us. We have had someone who has literally pulled us from a future fire, right? And we ought to be proclaiming his praises every single day. Psalm 150, this is another thing about the Holman Christian Standard Bible, says instead of praise the Lord, it says hallelujah. How many of you like saying hallelujah? How many of you have said hallelujah for years and didn't know what it meant? There was a point where I was there like, hallelujah. What does that mean? It means praise the Lord. Psalm 150, hallelujah. Praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his powerful acts. Praise him for his abundant greatness. Praise him with a trumpet blast. Get a trumpet. Praise him with a harp and a lyre. I don't know what that is. Lyre? That's a guitar? Okay, well, we have that. We're going to need to get a trumpet and a harp. Okay, but I don't know how to do it. You know how to do it? We need to get that stuff going here. It's what it tells us to do. Praise him with tambourine and dance. We can use a little more dancing up in this place. Praise him with flute and strings. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Man, that's what church is supposed to be like. That's what I'm expecting out of you next week. All right, if you got a harp, bring it in. Set you up over here. Jason's like, wait a minute, don't be signing up people that can't actually play the harp. If you got a harp and you can play the harp, then see Jason. But man, that's what we're here for. We worship Jesus because he's worthy of our worship. He's holy. It's about him and not just what he's done, but just simply who he is. And that he is Lord over all. When we teach and we preach in this church, man, we teach and we preach the truth. Man, you're not going to get a sugar-coated message in this place. Right, Ben? You're not going to get a sugar-coated message. You're going to get the Bible. You know what? And sometimes it will sting. Sometimes it may be just uplifting and you're like, you don't leave stung, but sometimes it's going to sting. But I tell you what, it's always going to lead you to Jesus. Every single time, every single message. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. We resolved to carry out this part of our vision with worship and preaching on Sunday mornings, as well as Sunday school, small groups, those kinds of things. Get involved in those. You know, if you don't know, Sunday school's at 9 o'clock. We got it for all ages. And the more people we can have in there, the better it is, especially adult Sunday school. You can get conversation going, you get different people's ideas. Man, that's what I love about men's group when we were doing it before is, you know, there was times, and I remember TJ, you know, reading a verse before and like telling me what God thought about. And I'm like, man, I've never seen that before. Like, that's ironing, sharpening iron. He had a different revelation, a different point of view on it. And really, I had to think about it. I'm like, I'm not even sure if I agree with that. And the more I thought about it, I was like, man, I do see that. Like, it's just God shows you different things. We need to be in Sunday school. We need to be around others talking about the Lord and what he has done, what he has shown us. Next part is Freedom Reigns is committed to advancing the kingdom of God through the salvation of the sinner and seeking Holy Ghost revival. Man, advancing the kingdom. That's our desire for church growth. Amen. Say amen. That's a good place to say amen. Advancing the kingdom is our desire for church growth. Our desire for church growth is not for more finances. That's not our desire. That's not our motivation for church growth. It's for advancing his kingdom. Listen, the more people we have sitting in here, the more people we have available to do different things. The more gifts and talents we have to do different things, not just so that we can have a better service, not just so that we can do something flashy and exciting, but so that we can reach more people, that will have more gifts and talents, that will be able to reach more people, okay? It's an ongoing process. The whole point, though, is to advance God's kingdom. That's our desire. We're not trying to win a popularity contest. We're trying to see the lost get saved and see the kingdom grow. We set our sights on the kingdom, not on these temporary things of this world. Amen? We have a desire for genuine Holy Ghost revival in St. Elmo. Do you? We pray things like, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Let me tell you what. If things on earth start happening the way that they are in heaven, we're going to have a revival. There's going to be an awakening. There's going to be some people that are asleep. I love what Cheryl prayed, and we've prayed it on Tuesday nights before, about gifts and talents that are dormant. Man, you guys have gifts and talents, and some of you, you're not using it. Some of you may not even know what they are, and they're just dormant. And man, we're praying for God to bring those to life, to breathe life into those and bring those to the surface. We pray for that for our community. You know, if you come to our prayer services, prayer meetings, you're going to hear, man, we desire a true spirit-led revival of God's church. Man, I want every church in this town. I'm not talking about Freedom Reigns in Christ Church. I'm talking about St. Elmo. I want every church, when you walk into it, that you meet the presence of the Lord. Not a friendly face, not just someone that will say hi to you. That's great too, but man, we need the presence of the Lord. In this church, in the Methodist church, in the Christian church, Church of God, it doesn't matter what church. We need the presence of the Lord. We need spirit-led reviving of the church. And do you realize the difference between what we see as church today and the church that we see in the book of Acts? Have you ever really read that and thought about the differences? The book of Acts, especially chapter 2, is very well known. You know, we preach it and teach on it here, but verse 1 through 4 tells us, when the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. and tongues like flames of fire that were divided appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in different languages as the Spirit gave them ability for speech. And that's amazing, powerful testimony of what God did in the early church. But so often we stop right there, especially in a Spirit-filled church. We stop right there and we're like, this is the power of God. This is what happens when the power of God comes. Okay, well then what do you do with that? What do you do with the power of God? If you read on, it talks about how they shared the gospel with boldness. That's the primary purpose of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The primary purpose is to share the gospel with boldness. How many of you would say that you're a more timid person? Maybe you're not real bold. You're not real outgoing. You're not real comfortable sharing something. Man, I tell you what, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, he will give you the boldness. Okay, still not going to force your hand. He's still not going to make you do it. But he will give you the boldness to be able to share the gospel. They devoted themselves to studying the word. They devoted themselves to fellowship and to prayer. It says that they met daily in the temple and that they were in unity. You know why they were in the temple in unity? Because they didn't have eight temples in a town of 1,500. They had a temple and they were there in unity. They were all going to seek the same thing for the same purpose. And we're told that because of this, I believe that the result is because that they were in unity, that they were seeking the Lord. God added to the church daily those who were being saved. Man, if you would give us a church that we would see people being added to daily. Man, give us a church that we see people added to daily. I want people like Dave that come walking into my office. That's like a year and a half ago, and it's probably my greatest memory of being here so far as a pastor, is somebody walking into my office being like, I don't even know why I'm here. Man, we want that daily. I tell you what, I will welcome somebody coming over and just knocking on my door if they're like, I don't even know why I'm here. I need something. I don't know what it is. Man, I will welcome that daily. I don't care if it's my day off if you want to know Jesus. Like, that's my job as a Christian. Not just a pastor. I need to tell you about Jesus. It doesn't matter what day it is. It doesn't matter what time it is. That's the church that we desire. People were being healed of sickness and disease. People that were oppressed by demons were being set free. This is a regular thing. Okay, so often today we think of like, man, you know, we got these sparse miracles. You hear about them, you know, in Florida or California or Texas or, you know, Michigan, wherever. Man, this was a daily occurrence in the New Testament church. Miracles, many signs and wonders, and they were done daily, but most importantly, the greatest miracle was that people were being saved by the masses. Man, that's what we ought to be pursuing. That is why we're committed to praying for and seeking a Holy Ghost revival. We resolve to see this accomplished by prayer and by preaching, but man, it's got to be by prayer, all of us. We got to be in unity, seeking Holy Ghost revival if we want to see it happen. Freedom Reigns is committed to seeing healing and deliverance move the saint to a place of freedom from sin and into victory in Jesus. Man, too many people come to Jesus. They get this salvation part down, but they don't ever get deliverance. They just continue to walk around like, yeah, I'm saved, but I'm beat up. I'm saved, but I feel like I have hope, but I'm hopeless, right? Like they're all looking for basically what I was talking about earlier, not just this abundant life on this earth, but like, I know I got heaven coming, but man, I'm ready for this life to be over. This one is rough. This one stinks. Man, we're looking for people to receive healing and deliverance. And oftentimes it's of things that they're not even completely aware of. Matthew 1:21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Man, we got to remember that. Jesus didn't just came. He didn't just come to forgive, but to free us. To free us from sin. And when we become new in Christ, old has passed away. You know what that means? Every single thing since the beginning. All the old. It all passes away when we become new in Him. We can have that freedom. We can have freedom from sin. We can have freedom from the enemy, you know, beating us up over that past sin, over the past shortcomings. We resolve to see that accomplished through, again, prayer and counseling, but as well as deliverance ministry. And I'll tell you, me and Ben have had opportunities to minister to people that were... This makes me a little bit sick. I told John Lamadou this, and I thought he was going to flip over one of our pews the other night. We've had people in this town that have gone to other churches, and they were refused. Like, what do you mean you have, like, some kind of demonic oppression, or, you know, you're having, like, weird things happen? Like, that's out of my realm of authority. You're going to have to go somewhere else. Churches, pastors. Man, that breaks my heart to know that there's people like that out there that they need deliverance. They need freedom in their life, and they just don't even know where to turn. Man, that's what we're praying for. Lord, send them here. I may not personally have all the answers and know everything, every single thing to say, but man, I know the God who does. I know the Jesus who is freedom. I know the Jesus who can break these chains, and I'll pray, and I'll pray again, and we'll come and we'll dump a dump truck of oil on their house if we have to. We don't care. As many times as it takes. Man, we believe that we can be praying with people at an altar call, and the Holy Spirit can come, heal, deliver, set free. Amen. Freedom Reigns is committed to loving people, making disciples, and equipping them for the work of the ministry. Man, this right here is what church is all about. I could say that about all these statements, but right here, loving because Jesus loved us, leading people to Him and showing them how to live like Him, and then teaching them how to do it over again. Again, it's that multiplication. Teach them to do what God has created them to do. Ephesians 4:11-13. And He personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the training of the saints in the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with the stature measured by Christ's fullness. And how many of you are matured to the stature of a mature man with the stature measured by Christ's fullness? Like, you've got it all. None of us. Okay, this is why we have to be training and teaching the saints to do the work of the ministry and to build up the body of Christ. Listen, you're not just here to sit in the pew. You're here to help build up the body of Christ. You know, I am so blessed by the women of this church. I'm not slamming the men at all. I'm just saying the women of this church, I'm constantly hearing about this woman meeting with that woman, and this one meeting with that one, and this one with that one. And it's not just a couple of women. There's a lot of women in this church that meet with other women in the church and talk through problems with them and pray with them. Man, they're helping to build up the body. They're like, you know what? I can help you with that. I can pray with you for that. I've had people come to me about a few topics that I really didn't have any idea what I was going to say. You know, because most of the time it's, hey, I'd like to meet with you, and they don't tell me why till they get here. And then I'm like, the whole time I'm like, oh man, I need help. Who am I going to call? But then the Holy Spirit just speaks to me and speaks through me as I'm ministering to them. And sometimes they may leave, and I don't usually ask, was that good? Like, is that all right? But a lot of times I hear back later, and I'm like, okay, praise God that He works through me as measly as I am and as small-minded as I am. But we need to be building up the church. We've got to equip the saints, and we do this in many, many ways. Basically, all ministries in the church pretty much fall under this, because we're about making disciples. And so if a ministry doesn't fall under this, we need to get rid of it. Breakthrough, 412, men's group, women's group, small group, Sunday school, any area that you serve in They all should fall under that. Freedom Reigns is committed to influencing the world through evangelism and local, national, and international ministries. Man, we have got to influence this world. Okay? I'm wholeheartedly focused on this community right here. And some of you guys, bless your heart, you're from Altamont and Vandalia and Effingham and I don't even know where else. Some like little town out there. What's that town you live by, Dave? Logatee. Yeah, we've got some Logatee people up in the house over here. The whole population is right here. Right. If you want to know anything about Logatee, you can just ask them. But my focus is on St. Elmo. We're a church in St. Elmo. That's my focus. But that doesn't mean that it stops there. Okay, that's the focus. Okay, but whenever we see hurts and we see needs in the areas around us, oh, we'll go there. And I tell you what, whenever we conquer this town right here, it's going to spread like this, okay? We are focused on influencing the world, and I'm so tired of the world influencing the church. Amen? I'm tired of that. I'm ready for the church to influence the world, you know? And you can do this. You can do this. I have a simple way for everyone in here to influence the world for the cause of Christ. Are you ready for it? How many of you are nervous right now? Who's got sweaty palms? Act like Jesus. Be like Jesus. Don't just act. Don't put on a show. Be like Jesus. Listen, all the time. All the time. Don't compromise when you don't feel like it. Don't compromise when nobody's looking. All the time. 1 Peter 1:16. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. That's really, I've preached a whole message on that before, and it's really not as hard and complicated as people make it out to be. Be holy for I am holy. To be holy means to be set apart. It means to be different, distinct, to be other. It means to not be like everybody else. Man, the only way you can be like not be like everyone else is to be like Jesus. We look around our world and we see how little people look like Jesus, how little Jesus is used in government and in schools and in workplaces. Man, the way we can be different, the way we can be set apart is to not look like them, but to show them the light, to shine the light in the darkness. You have influence over people. And you know, you may not think so, but the words that we speak or type on the computer, the words that we speak, they carry significant weight. They really do. You know, your words can either be a blessing or they can be a curse. Every single word. Choose to be a blessing. Choose to be different. Choose to speak life, to speak love. Now, listen, love isn't necessarily tolerance, okay? But choose to speak love. And today with the internet, man, we all have the capability to be local missionaries. We have the capability to be national missionaries. We have the capability of being international missionaries through the internet, through the Facebook and Twitter and all those things. But we also have to be careful, because your one stupid comment or stupid post can ruin your ability to witness to somebody. Man, it's just the same as what you speak. There's been one or two times where I've said something during a sermon that I wish I could have back. And I know it made it out there, and I'm like, why did I say that? That was stupid. Okay? Now, I could go get it back. I could go on the internet. I could pull down the sermon and edit it. I could take it out of there. But you guys that have heard it, if it stuck out to you, it's probably ingrained in there forever. And you're going to be like, I don't remember that. Okay, it's the same way on the internet. How many of you know that things don't disappear on the internet? You can delete it. It ain't gone. All right? If it bothers somebody enough, they got a screenshot of it and they've texted it to people and it could be all over the place by now. Be careful not to ruin your ability to witness. Just as powerful as the privilege is to be able to share the gospel, you can ruin the gospel just as easy. I'm never listening to that guy again. Here he's talking about Jesus one day, and then he's, okay, I'm going to go hot topic, slamming our president. I don't care if you like the president or not. Stop sharing posts slamming him. You want me to share a post slamming you? I'm serious. Yeah, pray for him. He's still a man. Just because you don't agree with him doesn't mean it's okay to slander him. Okay? But people do stuff like that. I love Jesus. Jesus is Lord and Savior. And then they slam it. They slam the president. They slam this and that and the other thing. Okay? Be careful. Be careful what you're posting. Let's just choose the post love, uplifting, life-altering messages in a good way. Okay, so locally we support our food pantry and Minister Alliance. Nationally, we've done mission trips in the country. We went to New York City a couple years ago. But our biggest tool there in the national space is our website, Facebook page, podcasts, and they reach people all over the United States. We have frequent listeners in other states. I didn't have time to pull all the stats on it, but I'll get that sometime for you guys. And we also reach people in other countries there. But we have international missionaries we support, Fabian and Carol in Iraq, Jeff and Marianne in Israel, Kate and Adam in China. Last year we went to Costa Rica and had the great privilege of sharing Christ with those awesome people in that country. So that is our vision and how we as a church resolve to see it accomplished. And I hope that helps you see why we do some things, and hopefully it fuels the fire. This is why we do vision casting every year. I know it's not tremendously different from year to year. Listen, because we still have the same mission. Until we've made all the disciples, we still have the same mission. Make disciples. And that mission's not going to change because the word of God is unchanging. All right? We've got to have a mission. And we have one, but we've got to have a vision to make it work. But listen, this vision, I can preach it. I can read it myself. I can believe it. The elders can believe it. But there's only one way that this is going to work, that it's actually going to impact our community. It's for you to own it. Listen, you ought to be able to turn to the back of that bulletin and look at that and see that vision and be like, you know what? This is what we're about. This is what I'm about. What can I do to help this? And I wrote on my hand during worship. It's not just about knowing the vision, but it's about believing it. Like, do you believe these things that I've been speaking? Do you believe these things in our vision statement? That yes, that's what our church is about. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And listen, we may not have done all those things last year very effectively. I'm not worried about that. Because the Lord is getting ready to do something new. In those areas that we've lacked in the past, he's saying, you know what? I'm going to do something new in those areas. I'm getting ready to burst forth, and you're going to see something that you've not seen before. Listen, I don't want what we had last year. I want what God's got for us this year. I'm not worried about the past. Man, praise God for all of your beautiful faces in this place. I'm thankful for you. But man, I'm not focused on the past. I want you to be here next week. I want other people to be here next week. And I want God to use you to influence those other people, right? We're looking for the future. God, what do you have for us? We can plan all day long, but the reason that we're a body is because we need all of us to accomplish this vision and mission. And so as we start here today, we're called to serve Jesus with our gifts and talents. And I do want to encourage you and challenge you to evaluate. You know, Lord, is there something in my life, not just in the church, is there something in my life, God, that I can be doing differently? Is there a way that I can be serving you that I haven't in the past? Am I seeing your plan for my life? And in the church too. You know, we always have needs. And I don't like getting up here and sharing needs that we have. I'd rather they just be filled and not have to worry about it. I share them because I'm like, well, it's not working the other way. You just hope and pray that God will lay it on somebody's heart. Sometimes, you know, and I've had things on my heart before where maybe that's not God. I'm not going to do that. I think I just feel guilty or whatever. Well, sometimes that may be the case, but sometimes maybe it's because you're supposed to actually do it. Right? I've told you guys before, when I started men's group several years ago, the first thing I did, God spoke to me. I told my wife immediately because I wanted accountability. And then I went to the next elders meeting and I said, God told me I'm supposed to start a men's group Saturday morning, 7 a.m. I got it out right away because I didn't want to be able to just tuck it under the pillow. I wanted to get it out. Now I'm accountable. Now I've got to do it. So, you know, if you feel like, man, you know, I really need to get plugged in somewhere, man, come see me. Come see Ben or Mark. We'll get you plugged in. We always need help cleaning. I shared about the sound in the media earlier. We need help. We need somebody to drive a van on Wednesday nights. We need an adult who can just ride on the van and check off names and just talk to the kids on the bus, on the big bus. You know, we have all kinds of needs. And so I want you to evaluate. Again, not a guilt trip, but evaluate. What can I do for the kingdom of God? Lord, what are you trying to draw me toward? And so again, if you're feeling defeated in your own life, this message absolutely applies to our individual lives. Man, you keep making resolutions. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Listen, there's a lot of things in my life I've said I was going to do that I haven't done. And I've been laughed at. I've been mocked. I've bought land. I've bought land in two different states and had to sell it, not built a house on either one. Right? I bought the house of my dreams and then turned around and had to sell it. Right? I mean, I've done lots of things. We were going to move to Florida one time and then we didn't. Listen, I've got people that have laughed at me like, aha, yeah, right. And there was to a point where I would say I was going to do something and nobody believed me. Yeah, right. You said you were going to build a house. You said you were going to move to Florida. You didn't do any of those things. Well, you know what? It's because I was just trying to do what I thought I was supposed to do. You know, and sometimes you get it wrong, or sometimes God's challenging your faith, or sometimes plans just change, all right? What we got to do is we got to have vision. Like, this is what I'm trying to accomplish for the Lord. Most importantly, that's the key, having the vision. What does he want me to do? Because vision leads to victory. And if you want victory in your life, you've got to see vision. You've got to know that finish line that you're trying to get to. So pray, seek the Lord, ask the Lord, and he will show you wondrous things that you do not know. Pastor Richard, one of my heroes in the faith, Richard Crisco, shared this last Sunday. He said, your new year is going to be like your old year unless you change your ways. Man, the new year is going to be just like the old year unless something changes. So this year, this new year, I'm saying, let's go after the Lord. Not that you didn't last year, but man, let's not think we're limited to what we did last year. Let's not think that your walk with God is limited to where you're at right now. You may be comfortable where you're at right now. You may have total peace with God. Like, yeah, me and God, we're on first name basis and everything's going good. You may be comfortable. Man, you can't stop there. What does God have for me? Because he's always got more for you. Amen. All right, stand in this place.